I'd like to speak to the area of enduring faith for us as believers. And Hebrews chapter 11, of course, is known as the hall of faith. Of great many believers have gone on before us. And, you know, many times here in this chapter, it says, by faith, by faith, by faith. These all died in faith. Faith's important to God. But verse 6 here of Hebrews 11, and this is applied to each of us as believers, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, a true spirit-filled person wants to please God, and God wants us to have faith, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he, that's the believer, that comes to God, we put our trust in Him, must believe that He is, or He's Almighty God, we trust Him, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And then it falls into all these examples of Noah and Abraham all these died in faith, and all these men of God that have gone on before, so many, Jacob and Moses, and all these men here in Hebrews 11, and women, they all died in faith. Well, let's pray here tonight, and we'll look at this subject. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we would have abiding faith in Thee, and faith that's strong and steadfast to the end. And Father, help us to finish our race well. Lord, we've begun well, help us to finish well. And Father, I pray that each of us, Lord, would have that faith that pleases You. So, Lord, in these dark days that we have before us in our nation and around the world, I pray, Lord, that we would see Your hand working in our lives, that we might have that faith that honors You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Give me some things in our world that are unsettled. What is some unsettled things in our world? Things that are troubled or kind of shaky? How about the Middle East? Is that an unsettled region of the world? I mean, that's like a powder keg. What are the Iranians trying to do right now? They're trying to develop what? A nuclear weapon. I don't know that. Somebody took out one of their top nuclear scientists, whoever that was. And what else are some things in our world that are unsettled?
The election.
Okay, it could be, there's a lot of strong feelings out there across our country, okay, just politically for us. Anything else that's unsettled in the world?
You said already, our country.
Okay, our country, sure, okay. There's a lot of, what's this?
The meaning of
marriage. Okay, the meaning of marriage. How about male and female? Is that an unsettled issue out in our culture? As hard as that is to believe, marriage or, yeah, there are just things that, we, for generations, were settled, but now they're unsettled. And turn here in your Bibles to Mark chapter 13. And in this chapter here in Mark 13, the Lord is trying to help us as believers, the signs of the end times and things that are happening. Now, what's interesting about chapter 13 here in Mark, he starts where they're at, but all of a sudden, it's like he just pulls the curtain back and he's looking way down through eternity. Thousands of years later, but he starts right where the disciples are. Well, Mark 13, 1, as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Now, some of these stones are huge. In the Temple Mount area, there's some of these stones that are like 14 feet long and so thick and weigh tons and tons and tons. How do these people move that with no equipment like we have? I mean, these stones are impressively, Temple of Herod was 46 years in building. And see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Now, Jesus, being God, he could look down through the quarters of time. And he knew what was going to happen 70 years later when the Romans came in. Verse 2, see these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, one of the reasons I've heard that they when they burned the temple area and everything, because all the gold melted all into the cracks and they wanted to get the gold, so they busted all the stones up to get to the gold that flowed everywhere when they burned the temple area. All these stones should not be worn. They shall all be thrown down. Now, that is a prophecy that took 70 years into the future. And, you know, probably for the disciples, that was probably like, whoa, you mean this temple? You know, this is their place of worship and their center of their religious life. And it's all going to be thrown down. But let me ask you a question in verse 2. Did that happen exactly as God said it would? It sure did. The Romans came in and they destroyed the temple and destroyed Jerusalem. And it happened just as the Lord. Well, that's 70 years there. But let's read a little further here. As they sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James, John and Andrew asked him privately. You know, they had this little conference going on here, a little prophecy conference. Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? They just kind of want to get this calendar kind of organized here, the Lord. Like, show us your calendar here. What's going to happen here? Well, verse 5, Jesus answered them, began saying, take heed lest any man deceive you. Now, right from the get-go, what is he trying to warn us about? Now, when somebody deceives you, it means they know one thing, but they're steering your attention or your understanding in another direction. And he's warning us because many deceivers go out into the world. Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Give me a name of a false prophet here of late. How about Sung Young Moon? Is he a false prophet? He claims he's Jesus Christ, Sung Young Moon. Give me somebody else that's a false prophet. Yeah, Joseph Smith's a false prophet. Absolutely. Who's this? Right. He was a false prophet. Absolutely. And so many shall come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and deceive many. You know, there are many followers, whether they're Mormons or whatever. There are false prophets. So don't be deceived by people that claim to be Christ. I'm the Christ. You know, don't be deceived by that. Verse 7, when you shall hear of wars and rumors of war, be ye not troubled. For such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. Now, when World War I happened, guess what people thought? That was the end of the world. When World War II happened, guess what people thought? That was the end of the world. We're still here. You know, the Lord is saying, hey, wars and rumors, that's going to happen, but the end shall not yet be. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in various places. Now, in various places. What's interesting about earthquakes, there have been more earthquakes of late than there has been in ever since they've started recording earthquakes. It's amazing how many times there's earthquakes. And that's part of the end times. And that's what we see happening. And there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. And in Africa, the locusts have come, and that's a huge problem there in that part of the world. The locusts are everywhere. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for testimony against them. Now, religious persecution in verses 9, are we starting to see that in our country a little bit? Tell me some people in our land that have faced some religious persecution. I've mentioned it here. Who's this?
Randy Alcorn.
Okay, Randy Alcorn. Okay, sure. They hammered him with the RICO law. They said, you're just like organized crime. And they, for 20 years, he could not get a paycheck without them being garnished. And it was terrible what they did to him for just protesting at an abortion clinic. How about John MacArthur trying to hold services out in California? They were wanting to shut him down. They were trying to keep him from holding services. And we see in our own land where Christianity used to be predominant, and now we're being persecuted in the sense that the net is tightening around us, the noose, so to speak. But that's part of these end times. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Is that happening today? Is that happening today? The ends of the earth, the gospel is going to the ends of the earth. We see that happening by radio, by missionary activity, by Bible translations. The gospel is going to be published among all nations. Now, when he said this, that gospel was just in the land of Israel, but we've seen it go all around the world, and that's happening today. But when they shall lead you and deliver you, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do premeditate, but whatsoever shall be. But Whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Now, what he's saying in verse 11, again, the just shall live by faith, without faith and impossible to please him. In these times of testing, where verses 9, persecution, and you, as the gospel goes out into the world, people are going to be resistant. Verse 11, he talks about, yeah, you'll be brought before councils. It's tough. Can you tell me, when I say the pearl of the Orient, do you know what that means, where, what nation that was in? There was more Christians in this one part of the world, they used to call it the pearl of the Orient, where more Christians resided. Do you know what nation that was in? That was in North Korea. That's where Ruth Graham Bell's parents were missionaries in North Korea. That used to have more missionaries there. What's one of the greatest persecuted countries in the world today is North Korea. You know, if a North Korean was to read this, when they shall deliver you up, take no thought, would that be a meaningful verse to them? You know, they would realize the truth of that. And for us as God's people, we've got to have that faith to realize these times are coming. You know, he has warned us. And we have to realize that it's a spiritual battle for the truth of the gospel. Verse 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. This is what's happening. All right, it goes on here. Verse 12, now brother shall betray brother to death, the father, the son, the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. Do we see in our culture, in our society, that young people don't respect the authority of their parents? Have you seen that? I have seen it. It's just everywhere. And we see it unfolding before our eyes that the children do not respect the authority and honor of their parents. And it's a scary place when society gets there. All right, it goes on, verse 13, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. They just had a survey come out, and they tried to figure out what religion in the world is the most persecuted one. And guess what it was? Christianity. It's the most persecuted. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endure unto the end shall be saved. The true believers, verse 13, are going to endure. The true believers will persevere, have persevering faith, enduring faith during these times. And again, as Jesus speaking, he started with the temple, but then all of a sudden he seems to shoot it way out into the future here as what's going to happen. Verses 14 on, there's a lot in this chapter, but I actually want to go somewhere else here for a minute. But verse 23, but take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all these things. Why does he tell these things ahead of time? In verse 23, you know, everything he tells, I've told you things ahead of time. If you know these things are going to happen ahead of time, and when they happen, what does that do for you as a believer? If you know what's going to happen ahead of time, and you're walking through these hard times, what does that do for you as a believer? Right, it's going to strengthen your faith. God wants us to have that strong faith. Now, turn over here to Matthew for a moment. It carries that theme of faith here. And what's most interesting, because this theme of faith, all these things are going to be happening to us, but he tells us ahead of time they're going to happen. In Matthew 15:21, we have a story here that on the surface, it looks like, well, he's a little rough here, or just, why did he speak like this? But on a deeper level, there's a huge lesson here. Now, this is the only time in Christ's life up to this time that he ever left the land of Israel. Verse 21, and Jesus went and departed of Matthew 15. Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Where was Tyre and Sidon? That was way north. That was above the Sea of Galilee. That was toward the coast there in the north. He went way north. Now, why did he go way north? Well, he just had an encounter with the Pharisees here, and it was a very pointed encounter here, because they accused the disciples of transgressing the traditions of the elders, and Lord Jesus here, let me tell you what's really happened. Because verse 8, the people draw nigh unto me with their mouths, honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. In vain they do worship me. Now, if you're a Pharisee, and the Lord Jesus looks at you, in vain you do worship me, that didn't go over real good, okay? That did not win friends and influence people for the Pharisees. And matter of fact, verse 12, the disciple says, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And yeah, it was pretty touchy there. I mean, the Lord Jesus, he found no faith in these men's lives. I mean, all the miracles he's done up to this point, everything he's done, everything he said, their hearts were closed and they rejected him. And he said, okay, I'm going to show you something here. These Pharisees, they don't receive me. They have no faith. What he did, he took his disciples with him. He went north to Tyre and Sidon. Now in this area, verse 22, again, this theme of faith, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. Now, tell me a little about the Canaanites. What kind of heritage do you have? You're a Canaanite. Not very good. Oh, that's not a very good people group to be associated. That's who she was, a woman of Canaan, a Canaanite. She came out of the same, because these descendants, after Joshua came in and they conquered the land, she's a remnant of those that survived and lived in the area. Well, she cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Now, stop there for a minute. Now, she's a Canaanite, but how is she addressing him? She's using son of David, messianic term. The son of David was son of God. She's using a messianic term here. So evidently, this woman knew something of the Jewish faith, of Jewish scripture, of the son of God. She, as a Gentile, see, he's totally in Gentile country. This is, up to this time, he's never left the land of Israel. But chapter 15, beginning, they reject it. He said, okay, fine, you can reject me. There's people out there that have faith. So this woman of Canaan, she came to have mercy on me, used messianic title, son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. All right? She had love for her daughter. This daughter, it doesn't say how all this happened, but she was in a terrible, demented state. And that was her prayer. Help me, Lord. Now, again, this theme of faith. Verse 23, he answered her not a what? A word. Now, think about that for a minute. He did not even respond to her. Now, on the surface, does that seem kind of cruel? If you talk to somebody and they don't greet you back or don't respond to you, you have a question, they don't say anything, you're kind of like, what's this, you know? On the surface, it seemed like that was almost a rebuke or, you know, a little stiff arm, so to speak. And he didn't answer a word. And then, even worse, disciples came and besought him, send her away. She cries out, she's bothering us. She's irritating us. Just get rid of her. So he puts this on the table, verse 24. I'm not sending but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay, now is that a true statement? It's totally true. Yep. What did Paul say? I'm sent to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. You know, that's God's plan. The Jewish people have a chance to receive the Messiah. And he's in total Gentile territory. So first she used a messianic term, but she doesn't leave. Now, for some of us, it didn't say a word. Disciples say to leave. Would that discourage you? Would that take your faith? And with a little bit of faith you had, just crush it. Boom, I'm done. This isn't working. You know, they don't want me. He's not answering me. I'm out of here. What did she do? Then she came and what? Worshipped him. And see, when you have faith, your faith isn't going to be deterred. When you have faith, your faith is strong. Now, you may have faith as a mustard seed. Maybe it only is this big. But if you hang on to that little bit of faith, you're going to get the blessing. And for these end times we live in, sometimes God wants to bring out those that really know and love him. And he just put this on to, I'm the lost sheep of house of Israel. That's who I'm sent to. She said, okay, God. Okay, Lord. And she just worshiped him. And then she just said, Lord, help me. Just cried out to him. And see, sometimes what we got to realize about faith is our faith can be deep in our hearts. And what God wants to do is bring that out of us for the whole world to see. He wants what's deep inside to come out. Because if you go back to this chapter here, he says, but those things, verse 18 in chapter 15, But those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. Now, that's talking about these unbelieving Pharisees who are unregenerated, who didn't know God, and that's what defiled them. But guess what's deep in the heart of a believer that loves God? It's faith. And he will reach deep into that well of faith and draw that out. But sometimes it doesn't come out easy. And so for this woman, didn't answer a word. But he knew it was in her heart. And then she worships him because that little bit of faith that she had that he could help her daughter, she wasn't going to let it go. Lord, help me. Okay, so now she's got his attention. Verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not right to take the children's bread, those for the children of Israel, and cast it to the dogs. Now, this dog is not in a derogatory sense. It's like the household pets. That's the term dog there. It's like a household pet. And she picks up on that. And she said, verse 27, truth, Lord. See, she's listening. She's enacting. Yet the dogs, these household pets, eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She said, Lord, just give me a few crumbs from you, and that's enough for me. Well, Jesus answered said unto her, now this is the key. O woman, great is thy what? Faith. And that's where God wants us to be as God's people. Now, all these things are happening in our world. It seems like the glue is coming unglued. Everything that we once thought was stable and secure is not like it used to be. And he says, I've told you all these things. It's going to happen. I wish I could find this verse, but the verse in the Bible, I don't know the address right now, but it says, when he returns again, will he find faith on earth? And that's speaking, well, is he going to find faith in me? Is he going to find faith in you? But what he wants to do is draw that faith. Now, you may be in a tough situation, like this woman here was, daughter vexed with the devil, no help. She appeals to God. But, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know, this issue of faith for the believer, God wants us to exercise our faith. Mark 13, but take heed, behold, I've told you, behold, I have foretold you all these things. And then verse 37, that same chapter, and I say unto you all, watch. You know, so these things are going to happen. But we want to be watching, but we want to watch in faith and trust in God. Now, are you discouraged in your faith? Can people be discouraged in their faith? Okay, John Bunyan, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. That book sat on Christians' tables for 300 years right beside the Bible. That was the book. You had the Bible, and then you had Pilgrim's Progress. And people miss a blessing if they don't understand Pilgrim's Progress, never read it. It's a huge book of the Christian life and faith. But there was a time in John Bunyan's life when he sat in prison. Now, the Church of England said, if we don't give you a license to preach, you can't preach. And John Bunyan said, God called me to preach. You can't tell me I can't preach. They said, if you preach, we'll put you in jail. He preached. They put him in jail. The years went by. His daughter got married. He could hear the church bells ringing, and he couldn't be there. He got discouraged. For 3 years, he got discouraged. Because he thought, what have I done with my life? But in those years, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. And then 300 years in American history, that book was blessing the saints of God. And so sometimes, yeah, it can be dark, it can be stressful, it can be hard. But God, just like this Canaanite woman that God used, O woman, great is thy faith. That's where God wants us to be. In this world, it can push on you in so many different directions. He said, I've told you, it's going to be a tough time, but God wants us to have faith. So sometimes he'll draw it out of us. And the reason he was hard on this woman is because he knew what was deep in her heart. And the testimony of her faith was huge because she wouldn't stop clinging to him. They wanted to send her away. He didn't answer. They wanted to send her away. He said, I'm not sending a lost sheep a house. She was just on it. She didn't give up. So as God's people, turn back over here to Hebrews 11 in closing here. For us as people, who does God honor here in Hebrews 11? You got Abel, you got Enoch, you know, you got Noah, you got Abraham, you got Jacob, you got Sarah. They all died in faith. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them. I mean, when you embrace something, what are you doing when you embrace them? You just grab hold of it and you hang on to it. You don't let it go. They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. That's faith. And great chapter. Great chapter. So in these days we live in, don't diminish your faith. Don't cast away your confidence. God is faithful. He knows what's going to happen even before it's happened. But he's going to be with us in our times. Well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, I thank you for what you've done for us and, Lord, the great opportunities you have to exercise our faith in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And, Lord, we look around our world and COVID has turned the world upside down, Lord, and things that used to be taken for granted are now not there. But Father, you honor faith, and I pray that we as believers would exercise our faith. And Lord, we know that you're a God who sees the heart and brings out in us the deep faith that resides in those true believers. And Father, this Canaanite woman who did not have all the spiritual blessings that the children of Israel did by your scriptures and your word and the testimonies of the fathers, the forefathers of the Jewish faith. But Lord, this woman, she knew that you were Almighty God and you could help her, and she didn't let go. And I pray, Lord, that we as believers, that we would confess these things, that we are your people and that we believe in you and we're not going to let go on you, that we embrace them and we cling to them. So, Father, strengthen our faith when the days are dark. And, Lord, help us to stay close to you. And we know that you're a faithful God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.